Hello everyone, and welcome to Journey into the Universe podcast. My name is Daniel, and in today's episode I'm gonna do the usual. I'm gonna read some of the latest news and also gonna have my take on it, some of my explanation what is happening out there, and also what I think is truly out there in space with some of the things which are happening out there. Today's episode is gonna be a little bit different because I'm also gonna record a video for YouTube as well, so whatever happens out there is no cuts, just straight away, you know, just the raw stuff, no editing. Without further ado, let's go straight into it. Let's read the news and then I'm gonna have my say on it to try to understand it and also maybe have a different opinion about what they say in that news. So, I usually choose my news from lifescience.com. If you want to go on this website, you can go out there and see exactly different news if you want, because they have a lot of other chapters covered there, not just news about space. But this is what it's my main purpose, because this is what it's one of my passions, hobbies, to find out what is actually happening out there. Why are we here? Why is the universe there? How the universe created? So without further ado, I just choose some of the couple of news. I put them in order by title, and now let's read and see what it's all about. So rare galaxy with three black holes lead astronomers to the most massive objects in the universe. Scientists watch as a three quasar system merging in a supercomputer simulation of the universe to birth a black hole 300 billion times as massive as the sun. That's a big thing. A glimpse only occasionally at the hearts of massive cluster of galaxy, ultra-massive black holes are some of the largest and most elusive objects in the universe. These black hole behemoths have masses exceeding that of 10 billion suns, making them far more monstrous than even the supermassive black holes found at the center of the galaxy, like the Milky Way. Okay. Now researchers studying a rare galaxy merger with three supermassive black holes at its center may finally discover the origin of this cosmic monster. Using a high-resolution cosmological simulation called ASTRID, the team modeled the evolution of the universe as it appeared about 11 billion years ago. In the simulation, the team witnessed the birth of an ultra-massive black hole following the merger of three galaxies. Each of these three galaxies contains its own quasar, a supermassive black hole that feeds on gas and powers massive outbursts of radiation that can outshine all the stars in their host galaxy combined. Okay. I don't know if we should read. Let's read the last part and see, and then I'm gonna have my say on it. The team simulation showed the triple quasar likely merge over the course of over 150 million years and formed the most massive black hole in the entire simulation, with a mass greater than 300 billion times that of our sun, or more than every star in the Milky Way combined. Okay, that's quite massive. Okay, so what they are trying to say, they put all this data into a massive computer. They try to see what's happening out there, you know, how the supermassive black hole form, you know. The only thing with this is, my say on it, this could be true as well, you know, whatever they do, of course, that could happen. And of course, might have happened in our galaxy. Our black hole could have emerged from a smaller black hole as well. But the problem is, when you do simulation, that, you know, the how to say, not just the data, but the rules you put in that simulation, you know, the computers follow exactly those rules. But those rules might not be true in real life. And let me tell you why. Because now, you know, it's this big talk about dark energy. But like I said so many times, I don't think it's any dark energy there. So if you put in the computer like rules to take in consideration which might not be true in real life, then the simulation could be false. But of course, it's nice to see people, you know, doing this stuff because, like I said, this could be like a real thing which actually happened in our past. I don't think we have, I could check, but not now, to see how big the biggest black hole that we know of. But as far as the Milky Way is not that big, but still, it's big enough to hold our galaxy, so that's still impressive for me. Let's move on to the next one. Monster black hole may have killed this galaxy, star forming power, James Webb Telescope reveals. Okay, let's see. The James Webb Space Telescope has spotted the earliest known galaxy to ever be quenched, suddenly and mysteriously halting its star formation, and scientists think the supermassive black hole in its center could be to blame. Okay. The galaxy called GS9209 formed most of its star during a hyperactive burst of activity between 600 million and 800 million after the Big Bang. That's quite early in the known universe. Then, more than 12.5 billion years ago, it suddenly stopped. The researchers published this discovery. Okay, so they probably did discover. The thing that particularly surprising about this, it's how after the Big Bang, the galaxy has shut down its star formation. In the local universe, most massive galaxies have shut down in what we think is a slow process of billions of years. Okay. When you go back in to early times, there is not enough time for a slow quenching process to happen because it's not that old. For a long time, it was thought that we couldn't find these sort of things. So light travel at fixed speed through the vacuum of space, so the deeper scientists look into the universe, the further back in time they see. Yes. Scientists first spotted in the early 2000. In the last 5 years, astronomers have used ground-based telescope to study the galaxy various wavelengths of emitted light, flagging as a galaxy that had potentially been quenched. But the infrared wavelengths needed to gauge the galaxy distance are damped by Earth atmosphere, so scientists need a very powerful space telescope to study each age. So this is where James Webb come into play. Studying the GS9209 with James Webb revealed that the distant galaxy roared into life 600 million years after the Big Bang with an enormous burst of star formation. Over a cosmically brief of 200 million years, the galaxy served up enough piping hot stars to match the present-day Milky Way. In only 200 million years, that's quite fast. Okay, 40 billion solar masses worth. Woo! Then, 800 million years after the Big Bang, the ancient galaxy abruptly went quiet. So, typically, the galaxy we see today have had access to about 5 times as much gas or more than they formed the stars. These results and some others are beginning to point out now the ratio being a bit higher in the early universe. The emerging picture is that the highest redshift back in time, galaxies are capable to form more of the available gas into stars. So, the researchers think that GS9209 was abruptly shut down by a supermassive black hole lurking at its heart. These black holes are born from the collapse of the giant stars and grow by seasonally gorging on gas, dust, stars, and others' black hole. The black hole at GS9209 center likely grew large enough to become a quasar. Quasars are giant black holes with an enormous quantity of material circling their mass, which heats up enough to push gas away with blasts of light up to 1 trillion times more luminous than the brightest star. If you have a massive black hole and stuff is falling into it, that leads to a lot of energy radiating out from that accretion. This is basically the only process that we think is capable of injecting enough energy into the galaxy gas for a short period of time. Okay. So, what is interesting about this galaxy? The interesting thing about this galaxy is like over a very short period of 200 million years, it just stopped producing stars. And they think because, you know, it's having this big black hole at the center, you know, like the center of the galaxy was just because was eating all these stars and everything around it, then become a quasar and was shooting powerful radiation, which is light. I said this so many times, and this radiation just pushed the gas away, or just spilled the gas away from the galaxy. So that means the galaxy was unable to form new stars. This is an interesting take on it, because could show us maybe how a galaxy could die faster than we know, because our galaxy is still pretty strong. But if our galaxy maybe had a bigger black hole, then maybe we wouldn't be here today. So this is an interesting find, an interesting take of it, because still this is an idea, this is a theory about what is happening there. But it's interesting to see. I'm happy to see these things, because it can give us more insight in the universe. So interesting news, because like I said, if we had a bigger black hole at the center, and maybe after we collide with Andromeda, the black hole is going to be big enough, maybe then no more star formation in the Milkomeda, how the new galaxy is going to be called. Milkomeda. So yeah, interesting. Let's move on to the next next one, and this is this caught my eye, because I saw this in my news feed as well on Facebook or something, just the title, and this caught my eyes because I have some ideas about this. So let's move on and read the news first. Galaxy size shock waves found rattling the cosmic web, the largest structure in the universe. Okay. Astronomers have detected enormous shock waves rattling the cosmic web that connects all galaxies in the universe, offering vital clues on how the largest structure in space were shaped. For the first time, astronomers have spotted enormous galaxy-scale shock waves rattling the cosmic web that connects nearly all known galaxies. These cosmic waves could reveal clues about how the largest objects in the universe were sculpted. The discovery was made by stitching and stacking thousands of radio telescope images together, which revealed the soft radio glow produced by shock waves from colliding matter in our universe's biggest structures. The cosmic web is a gigantic network of crisscrossing celestial superhighways paved with hydrogen gas and dark matter. This dark matter. Galaxy tends to form where multiple strands of the web intersect, often in clusters numbering in the hundreds of thousands. Now a study could provide vital clues into the nature of the mysterious magnetic fields that stretch beside these tendrils. Magnetic fields. In my last episode I said about magnetic fields, something very interesting. Magnetic fields pervade the universe, from planets and stars to the largest space in between galaxies. Yes, because magnetic fields is the rulers of the universe. Okay, let's move on. However, many aspects of cosmic magnetism are not yet fully understood, especially at the scale seen in a cosmic web. Taking shape in the chaotic aftermath of the Big Bang, the cosmic web tendrils form as clumps of matter from the rolling particles, antiparticles, birth of the young universe, whose rapid expansion pushed the filaments outwards to form an interconnected soap soup structure of the thin films surrounding countless, mostly empty voids. Okay. I have something to say about this, but let's move on. Far from being completely frozen in space, in place, so far from being completely frozen in place, the cosmic web matter can sometimes violently collide When matter in the webs merges, enormous shock waves send charged particles ricocheting through the web magnetic fields, causing the particles to emit a faint radio wave glow. These shock waves have been spotted around the universe's largest galaxy clusters, but until now they were never observed around the web itself. These shock waves give off radio emission, which should result in the cosmic web glowing in the radio spectrum, but it has never really been conclusively detected due to how faint the signal are. Then, by looking only for polarized radio waves, whose rays vibrate at the same angle as each other and were predicted in the simulation to be emitted by the shockwaves, the researchers found a signal. As very few sources emit polarized radio light, our search was less prone to contamination, and we have been able to provide much stronger evidence that we are seeing emission from the shockwaves in the largest structure in the universe, which helps to confirm our models for the growth of these scale structures. Okay. So now that the shockwaves' existence have been confirmed, they could be used to probe the nature of the enormous magnetic fields that suffuse the web, which play an unknown role in shaping the universe. Excuse me. Okay. So I have a very nice picture here for people who are watching on YouTube. Of course, you can see it. So, what they are trying to see, to say, more exactly. So, more exactly, you know, this they detect this radiation, which can be radio, which can be light, whatever. It's radiation. Everything in space out there, it's a lot of radiation, and they see these cosmic waves. You know, you see this almost interactions. You know, and. What I want to say about these cosmic waves, this, you know, the so-called connections between galaxy, and they say we have magnetic fields everywhere. Well, in my opinion, as I said in the last episode as well, magnetic fields is actually the ruler of our universe. It's no such thing as gravity. It's just magnetic fields there which governs the universe. But in my opinion, and keep in mind, like I said in the beginning, this is just my simple opinion, how I understand and how I try to find some of the answers out there. The super high waves, these connections between the galaxies, and in my opinion, are only possible because of the black holes. Because the black holes, in my opinion, like we just read like a couple minutes ago, can shoot a lot of a lot of gas in space out there. Why not these black holes shoot gas? Like shoot the gas, and these are the cosmic wave. Because keep in mind, the black hole mostly can shoot gas. Not through the equator, because there is the spin, and that spin, everything, you know, gets caught in the magnetic field, because that's the strongest. But it can shoot these through the poles, yeah, the black holes. I know you think I'm crazy, but in my opinion, a black hole has poles, yeah, and these poles are, if you saw some of the I think I saw a couple of years ago some pictures of the galaxy in different wavelength of radiation, and you could see on top of the radiation, you could see that exactly how to say, on top of the galaxy and beneath the galaxy, you could see that the black hole actually send radiation and material through the poles, and especially, you know, the black hole can shoot a very powerful beam of light radiation through its pole, and I think you've seen this. We call it mostly gamma rays, yeah? And in my humble opinion, of course, this is just my opinion, yeah, of what is happening out there based on my observation, is that actually these super highways are Created by these black holes, by their poles sending radiation, shooting up and down, and all this material being shoot. Just one moment, I have to stop something. Boom. And all these materials, were being shoot by the black hole, by poles. It just goes straight, meets another galaxy. Especially keep in mind the black holes, all the galaxy spins, rotate because of the black hole. In my opinion, black hole, which is holding together, is not gravity, is the magnetic fields. And when it's shooting up, simply connects to the other one. So this is what, in my opinion, are actually the super high waves, which is very interesting to see. The black holes connect with each other. So, like I said in the past as well, if we could look, or not create, but think at what actually is at the heart of black holes, like I said, could be like super heavy elements, even heavier that we know of. And this hold together, this create, in my opinion, the magnetic field necessary to rule the universe. But of course, this is just my take on it. You can think what you want. This is what I think. and keep in mind, especially when the black hole is expulging, like sending something through space through its pole, we're not gonna see it mostly, because if a black hole is dark, and if there's no light, no radiation to go through that material, or whatever the black hole is sending, we're not gonna be able to see it. Only through this, maybe when, like we see now, the radiation go through it and it's interacting with it. So it's very interesting to see this kind of studies. And it's, for me, these things just show, like, just proves that we might need to change our understanding of the universe. Our understanding of the universe can be what we thought is like over 100 years ago. We need to come with new ways of understanding our universe, because as we move forward with more powerful tools to detect what is happening out there, also our understanding needs to move forward. I think we discussed enough about this. Let's move on to the next one. Ghostly scraps of oldest recorded supernova revealed in stunning telescope images. Okay. The shredded remains of the first supernova ever recorded by humans, which appeared in the sky more than 1800 years ago and vanished within 8 months, arise from the cosmic grave in a stunning new image from the National Science Foundation NOIR lab. Thin blood red and swirling around an invisible center of mass, the ghostly clouds of gas are thought to be the last scrap of a star that explodes so brightly and violently that the blast was visible on Earth's nighttime skies for nearly a year after Christ 185. Chinese astronomers who witnessed the blast dubbed it as a guest star, as the explosion appeared suddenly where no star had ever been visible before, and then slowly faded back into the cosmic background. I know about this explosion, this supernova, because this was a little bit of a discussion some time ago, because in the past, we find some recording of really bright sky, and of course then, keep in mind, it was almost close to 2000 years ago. People really don't understand the ways what is happening out there in the universe. They didn't have powerful telescope or, and they were amazed about this bright light on the night sky. To be honest, I would really like to see this in our life, but it's, I think we map some of the supernovas out there, and I think we seen one which is really close to, in our opinion, to explode. But Our life is just so short and the universe is taking so long. It's like it's such a big discrepancy in our life and with the universe. You know, we are just not even like maybe not even seconds in the in if we count the life of our universe, especially now when we think that actually the universe is older than 13.8 billion years. So yeah, but I would really like to see this like in real life, you know, to see in our night sky these bright objects out there. Also could be dangerous because keep in mind supernova, yes, explodes locally, but gamma ray bursts are really dangerous because they are really high concentration of energy, and if it's gonna hit Earth, we are in big trouble if our magnetic field can't handle it. Like it's handling our sun lately, which is very unusual and very rapidly, very, I don't know what's happening with our sun, but if our magnetic field can protect us, we are in big trouble, we humans. So yes, very interesting to see these finds. Like I said, more observation leads to more discovery. Excuse me. Rare black hole 1 billion times of the mass of the sun could upend our understanding of galaxy formation. The discovery of a hidden primordial black hole, which formed just 750 million years after the Big Bang, suggests that it may be the tip of the iceberg of the cosmic monsters hiding in the early universe. Okay. A rare supermassive black hole found hiding at the dawn of the universe could indicate that there were thousands more of the ravenous monsters stalking the early cosmos than the scientists thought, and astronomers aren't sure why. I wonder why. The primordial black hole is around 1 billion times the mass of our sun and was found at the center of the galaxy, COS 87259. The ancient galaxy formed just 750 million years after the Big Bang and was spotted by the Atacama Large Millimeter Array, ALMA. Okay. Obscure beneath a cloak of turbulent stardust, the rapidly growing black hole was seen consuming part of its creation disk of orbiting material while spewing the leftovers out in a jet traveling close to the speed of light. The monster's black hole appears to be at a rare intermediate stage of growth, somewhere between a dusty star-forming galaxy and an enormous, brightly glowing black hole called a quasar. Ooh, the cosmic behemoth could be one of the thousands of inexplicably large black hole lurking beneath the cloud cover of the early universe. Just bear with me, my English is not that great. Black holes are born from the collapse of giant stars and grow by ceaselessly gorging on gas, dust, stars, and other black holes in the star-forming galaxies that contain them. If they grow large enough, friction causes the materials spiraling into the black holes most to heat up, and they transform into quasar, shredding their gaseous cocoons with blasts of lights up to a trillion times more luminous than the brightest stars. Because light travels at fixed speed through the vacuum of space, the deeper scientists look into the universe, the more remote light they intercept, and the further back in time they see. Past simulation of the cosmic dawn, have suggested that by lowering clouds of cold gas may have coalesced into giant stars that were doomed to rapidly collapse, creating black holes. As the universe grew, those first black holes may have quickly merged with others to seed even bigger supermassive black holes. But how this chaotic condition led to the creation of so many supermassive black holes is a mystery. One that is deepened by the possibility that the beasts could have numbered in their thousands, and when the universe had reached only 5% of its current age. Ooh. A possible explanation might lie in the quantity of frenzied activity of the dense starburst clouds where the earliest black holes spawned. For instance, in April 2020, the discovery of another rapidly growing transitioning black hole called GNZ7Q in a starburst galaxy the same age as COS 87259 showed that the galaxy was serving up freshly baked stars 1600 times faster than the Milky Way does. So today COS 87259 cooks at a slightly slower rate of 1000 times the present Milky Way, yet its black hole is 20 times as massive and bright as the GNZ7Q. Okay, so it's looking like we found the last year we found these supermassive black holes in the really early universe, which time they say 750 million years after the Big Bang, which is really early, like they said, only 5% in the age of the universe, because the universe as we know it today, we've seen like 13.8 billions. So 700 million years, it's quite early in the universe, and they find this supermassive black hole, which shouldn't really exist. And they think they were like spawning to life quickly and swallowing stars really really fast, like, you know, like they said, 1600 times faster than the Milky Way. But actually the black hole which was swallowing stars faster was smaller than this one which we discussed in the main, because this one was swallowing stars like 1000 times like our Milky Way swallowing, but still was massive, more massive. So definitely something is wrong in our understanding of the universe, and this is what I'm saying about our universe. We need to change our understanding of the universe. We can't still think the universe is created by something which a theory we created like over 100 years ago. We need to come with new real exactly understanding on what is happening under. And let me say something, why this black hole swallow this so fast? Well, in my opinion, you know, being so early in the universe, maybe was this maybe the magnetic field was so strong that's why it was swallowing gas faster than the other one, you know. Simply just this pull, the magnetic field was just strong enough. And let me say another thing which also is gonna go against the dark matter. So I'm not gonna say at the end, I'm gonna say it now, because if you follow me now, you're gonna hear what I have to say. Why I don't think dark matter is out there? Because they think actually the mass should be, you know, at the galaxy it's not showing. Because it doesn't, and why do we think dark matter is there? Because it doesn't fit in our pattern of the universe which we think is there now. But keep in mind this. If a black hole has enough, like strong enough magnetic fields, yeah, because this, to be honest, in my opinion, this is what rules, yeah. These are the forces the atom has, yeah, and also electromagnetism, yeah. This is what the atom is made of. It's got magnetic fields, yeah. That's why it's colliding, it's getting together, yeah. If a black hole has enough strong magnetic field, because keep in mind, in my opinion, we don't really have all the elements on the periodic table. I think there are heavier elements out there, especially in the black hole, because keep in mind, when all this mass gets there together, when it's crunching together, yeah, I think we are missing something, like we are missing some elements. And as soon as we're gonna realize that, and we're gonna realize how the black holes actually really form, because what I want to say, if a black hole has more mass like another one, that means it has a more pull, yeah, more, in my opinion, more stronger magnetic field. But what is different is we need to understand this magnetic field can be affected also by the material which is at the heart of the black hole. Because, like I said, what do we have in the center of our planet? And my observation is just based of what I see, what we know now. What we have at the center of our planet? We have a ball of iron. What is that ball of iron doing? It's spinning and it's creating a magnetic field. What is that magnetic field do? It's holding it's holding the moon together to us. Yes, and I didn't get into this, but I think I'm gonna go at this at the end a little bit. And this is what protects us from radiation. And also, this could same thing could be the same thing could happen in a black hole. Could have a core of an element we don't even know yet exists out there, because we don't meet the condition yet of that element to create, and create this strong pull, strong magnetic pull, which can just hold a lot more mass next to it. So that's why some galaxies are bigger and some galaxies are smaller, around maybe some same black holes, or maybe, you know, different shape. And also, as you saw in this article, was spewing gas. If you see in this photo, if you are with me on YouTube, you can see it's spewing gas through its pole, in my opinion. So another, to me, just another proof that what we discussed earlier about black hole spewing gas, this is what is creating the highways, cosmic highways. So in my opinion, it's pretty obvious, but of course this is just me, so I could be crazy, you know, I might not be right about this, but this is my understanding. Okay, let's move on to the next one, because let's see how long are we talking about. It's quite a long one, so we need to try to keep it a little bit shorter, not to bore you to death, you know. My joke. The James Webb Space Telescope spotted six gigantic galaxies, each roughly the size of our own Milky Way, that form at a baffling fast pace, taking shape just 500 million years after the Big Bang. Interesting. The James Webb Space Telescope has discovered a group of galaxies from the dawn of the universe that are so massive they shouldn't exist. The six gargantum galaxies, which contain almost as many stars as the Milky Way, despite forming only 500 to 700 million years after the Big Bang, have been dubbed universe breakers by the team of astronomers that spotted them. That because if they are real, the discovery calls our entire understanding of the galaxy formation into question. What I've been saying the whole time. Scientists don't know exactly when the first clump of gas began to merge into the beginning of the galaxy we see today, but cosmologists previously estimated that the process began slowly taking shape within the first few hundred million years after the Big Bang. Currently accepted theory suggests that 1 to 2 billion years into the universe life, this early proto-galaxy reached adolescence, forming into dwarf galaxies that began devouring each other to grow into one like our own. Because light travels fixed speed through the vacuum space, the deeper we look in the universe, the more okay. By using the James Webb Space Telescope to peer roughly 13.5 billion years into the past, the astronomers found that enormous galaxy that already burst into life very quickly after the Big Bang, when the universe was just 3% of the current age, even earlier than we discussed about the big black hole. The researchers say that the galaxies are so massive that they are in tension with 99% of the model of cosmology. 99%. This means that either the models needs to be altered, or scientists' understanding of galaxy formation requires a fundamental rethink. Okay, the Milky Way forms about one or two new stars every year. Okay, some of these galaxies would have to be forming hundreds of new galaxies a year for the entire history of the universe. If even one of these galaxies is real, it pushes against the limit of understanding of cosmology. Okay, so what they are saying actually now, because James Webb is such a powerful telescope, they discovered these big galaxies that it shouldn't exist. So, and like I said earlier, because if our understanding is based on something which we know, that's the only thing we know, then we create a pattern, and that pattern doesn't apply to this. Why doesn't apply to this? Well, I can say because, like I said earlier, maybe the black hole which govern this are more powerful in the fields. Magnetic fields are stronger, so collect matter faster than usual. Because this could happen. The like I said, could be materials, like we don't know out there. And also, let's say the Big Bang happened. Maybe after the Big Bang happened, was this I don't know, maybe this run around strong objects, strong, how to say, materials which start to gather dusts and all these objects around them faster than we know today. And maybe these are the, let's say, oldest black holes in the galaxy. But like I said, we need more data. And we need to observe this thing, because only through observation we can find, the reality, what is happening out there. But it's really exciting to see these kind of things coming into consideration, because, as you know, everyone was crazy if you say 10 years ago, oh, no, nothing can be older than 13.8 billion years ago. No, because our theory don't allow it. So our universe, was that problem with the stars, which a star which is quite close to us, which in my opinion could be older than the universe, but no, they cut it down. They try everything to do to cut it down under the 13.8 billion years ago. And now, after we send this powerful telescope, we see that actually we might be wrong. Actually, maybe something was before the universe, where we think the universe started. Or maybe simply the understanding, our understanding of forming, this behemoths forming out there is just wrong. Simply that. So let's move forward with the next news, because I need to move faster a little bit. I'm talking too much, don't I? If wormhole exists, they might magnify distant objects according to Einstein's theory of relativity. And that makes it possible for us to find them new research suggests. Okay, I don't have anything with Einstein, Feynman, whatever. But I think we need to start creating some new theories based on our current, more recent observation, because those old ones were made on some different observation. Of course, some guesses which proved to be right, through mathematical and everything, but I think we might need to change some of these theories if we really want to move forward. If wormholes exist, they could magnify the light of distant objects by up to 100,000 times, and that could be the key to finding them, according to researchers. Okay. Wormholes are theoretically funnel-shaped portals through which matter or spacecraft, okay, they say spacecraft just to put it out there, could travel great distances. To imagine a wormhole, suppose all of the universe were a sheet of paper. If your starting point of the dot of the top of the sheet and your destination or dot of the bottom, the wormhole would appear. Okay, yeah, we know that. We've seen Interstellar or Thor: Love and Thunder. Yeah, well, that was in Thor: Love and Thunder. Anyway, wormholes have never been proven to exist, but physicists have nonetheless spent decades theorizing, yes, theory, what these exotic objects might look and how they might behave. In their new paper, the researchers build a model to simulate an electrically charged spherical wormhole and its effect on the universe around it. The researchers wanted to find out whether wormholes could be detectable by their observed effects on their surroundings. The researchers' model showed that wormholes, should they exist, could massive could be massive enough to trigger one aspect on Einstein's theory of relativity, that extremely massive objects bend the fabric of space-time to such a degree that they cause light to curve. This bent light magnifies whatever lurks behind the massive objects, seen from our perspective on Earth. This phenomenon is known as microlensing and is allowing scientists to use massive objects like galaxies and black holes to view extremely distantly, like stars and galaxies in the universe. Okay. Let's not read too much because I think what they are trying to say now. Everyone thinks that wormhole exists, and let me say why. Because it would be really cool, and everyone hopes to find a way of traveling faster than the speed of light. Because keep in mind my dream as well, and I think every scientist out there and every person who is passionate about the universe would like us to find a way to travel faster in the space, so we can visit, let's say, different galaxies, different star system, different planets, or we can move and live on different places. And I think this is why this hunt for wormholes is out there, you know, because we think these things could solve this this need of ours to go, you know, this so fast in space. But I think, in my opinion, and keep in mind, this is just purely my opinion. So, because this is why I made this podcast, to put my opinion out there. And some people could think I might be wrong, but you know, maybe some things I say could be proven right in the future, or you know, some people think I might be right in some case of degree. I don't think the wormholes are really the answer to our space traveling, because to bend space, I don't think that's truly possible, you know, to bend space like they say, in my opinion, you know. But I think that might be a way of traveling faster than light. And I said I'm gonna do an episode about this, but this, you know, this work and this schedule of mine never let me enough time to just do my researches and put you out there some theory how we can travel faster than light. But I think my opinion, it's to travel the faster than speed of light, we need two things. One, it's magnetic fields, and second, we need the shape of the ship, of the starship which we travel it. Because keep in mind, if we travel at those high speed, our biggest problem is the g-force, the acceleration and the deceleration of these things, and also, you know, the how to power these things. But you know, I might have a solution. I could be badly wrong, but you know, at least I'm trying. I'm trying to prove, to make something, you know, like some people make their theory, I'm trying to make mine. But I don't know about wormholes. And why do I say this? Because if truly the wormholes would be there, maybe we should have seen it already. Because keep in mind, if wormholes could light up distant objects by up to 1,100 times, don't you think we should have seen this already? In my opinion, I think we should have seen it already. If something is so bright, even the distant objects, I think we should have seen it. Or what do you think? The galaxy which we discussed in the earlier article looks so big and so massive because some wormhole is showing us to be this? I don't think so. But hey, it's a cool concept, and of course, would be really cool to see this, but And keep in mind, to travel faster than speed of light, you need something to keep those radiation at bay. Because even if you get to that speed, keep in mind, in my opinion, you still have to overcome one thing: radiation out there. If, like everything, you want to travel in through our atmosphere, yes? If you go faster and faster, what is holding you back? What is holding you back in our universe? The air, yes? The air is holding you back. If you try to travel faster and faster, and you know this, aerodynamics, especially a big thing with EVs these days. So what is happening out there in space if you want to travel faster and faster? What is holding you back in this in space? The only thing which holds you back in space is radiation, and also could another one could be magnetic fields, but that's why I say magnetic fields could be a solution. You need to travel through that through all that radiation in space out there, but not interact with it. If you know what I mean, you have to have a cocoon around you. Okay, maybe you see where I'm going with my idea of space travel, but let's move on because I don't want to bore you too much. And now, let's see. No, let's read this one because I want to read news from the universe and then we move closer to our planet. A mysterious object is being sucked into our galaxy black hole. Now we may know what it is. A strange blob have been seen rapidly circling our galaxy center black hole. Now astronomers have identified as the exploded debris from two merging stars. Interesting, interesting. A mysterious object that have been slowly drifting towards the center of the Milky Way supermassive black hole could be exploded remnants of two colliding stars, a new study suggests. But I thought they said the stars can collide. Okay, let's read. The strange blob named X7, yes, has a mass of around 50 Earths. It's not that big, and is moving at speed up to 700 miles per second, 1,127 kilometers per second, as it spirals into our galaxy center black hole, getting yanked and stretched by powerful tidal forces as it falls. Now, by analyzing 20 years of observational data, astrophysicists finally have a theory for what the blob is: a cloud of ejected debris from a head-on collision between two merging stars. They are pulled in, okay. No object in the region has shown such extreme evolution. Okay. It started of comet shape, and people thought maybe it's got that shape from stellar winds of or jet of particles from the black hole, but as we follow it for 20 years, we saw it's becoming more elongated. Something must have put this cloud on its particular path with its particular orientation. Okay, X7 is on a 170 years long elliptical orbit around the Milky Way supermassive black hole, called Sagittarius A. A change to the shape of the debris cloud, however, suggests that it won't make it that far. Instead, it will be ripped apart by a ginormous black hole, powerful gravity. It's not gravity, it's magnetic. Stretching out into a long spaghettified noodle of matter before being swallowed up for good. The researchers propose that X7 is a blob of gas and dust from the merger of two stars, and events say that is very common, especially around black holes. As the stars collide, they throw. Okay. I thought they said, I just read like two stars can collide. I think I read this. But anyway, they say the two stars, I'm guessing closer to the black hole, just collide because the black hole just destroyed their, how to say, their interaction, like we have our sun with the planets and everything. And, simply that blob of mass, it's the gas, which of course if is not spinning, you know, to the center like our star, that gas simply just blew apart and get sucked by the pull of the black hole and is gonna get swallowed by it. Which is really interesting is to see this, our black hole. You know, we seen a photo of our black hole, so-called black hole. You know, they did this photo of the ring. You know, so our black hole is chewing everything, and I'm guessing is expelling as well a lot of matter. But we're not gonna be able to see that, like I said, because it's not light up or anything. It's just chewing and growing at the same time. And these black holes, like I said, could be the answer to our to our understanding of the universe. Especially, also could be answer of our traveling to the universe. How to say, the solution to traveling faster than the speed of light, Because, like I said, we might find that black holes produce, how to say, some materials like it's gold, silver, whatever, iron can produce some really heavy materials we don't know exist. And that could materials could be also the solution for our traveling, into space. Let's move on to the next news. The early universe was crammed with stars 10,000 times the size of our sun, new studies suggest. Okay, new studies. I like these studies. All the time there's something new, new, new. When the universe first stars emerged from the cosmic dark ages, they ballooned to 10,000 times the mass of Earth's sun, new researches suggest. The first stars in the cosmos may have topped out over 10,000 times the mass of the sun, roughly 1,000 times bigger than the biggest stars alive today. Interesting, a new study have found. Nowadays, the biggest stars are 100 solar masses, but the early universe was a far more exotic place, filled with mega giant stars that lived fast and died very, very young, the researchers found. The cosmic dark ages. More than 13 billion years ago, not long after the Big Bang, the universe had no stars. There was nothing more than a warm-up soup of neutral gas, almost entirely made up of hydrogen and helium. Okay. Over hundreds of million years, however, that neutral gas began to pile up into increasingly dense balls of matter. This period is known as the cosmic dark ages. In the modern-day universe, dense ball of matter quickly collapsed to form stars, but that because the modern universe has something that the early universe lacked, a lot of elements heavier than the hydrogen and helium. Interesting. These elements are very efficient at radiating energy away. This allowed the dense clumps to shrink very, very rapidly, collapsing to high enough densities to trigger nuclear fusion. The process thus powers stars by combining lighter elements into heavier ones. But the only way to get heavier elements in the first place is through the same nuclear fusion process. Multiple generations of star forming, fusion, and dying, its present state. So, without the ability to rapidly release heat, the first generation of stars had to form under much different, much more difficult conditions. To understand the puzzle of these first stars, I still decide to turn to sophisticated computer simulation of the Dark Ages to understand what was going on back then. They reported their finding. Okay, the new work feature all the usual cosmological ingredients. Dark matter. Just leave me with this dark matter. Just don't say it again. To help grow galaxy, the evolution and clumping of neutral gas and radiation that can cool and sometimes reheat the gas. But their work includes something that others have lacked: cold fronts, fast-moving streams of chill matter that slam into already formed structure. The researchers found that a complex web of interaction precedes the first star formation. Neutral gas began to collect and clump together. Hydrogen and helium release a little bit of heat, which allow clumped of neutral gas to slowly reach higher density. But high-density clumps became very warm, producing radiation that broke apart the neutral gas and prevented it from fragmenting through many smaller clumps. Okay, let's go because it's a long story. This back-and-forth interaction between radiation and neutral gas led to massive pool of neutral gas, the beginning of the first galaxy. The gas deep within this proto-galaxy formed rapidly spinning accretion disks, fast-flowing rings of matter that form around massive objects, including black holes in the modern universe. Meanwhile, on the outer edges of the proto-galaxy, cold fronts of gas rained down. Okay. Those first stars would have been incredibly bright and would have lived extremely short life, less than a million years. That's interesting. Stars in the modern universe can live billions of years. After that, they would have died in a furious burst of supernova explosion. This is interesting news. Of course, it's older than the ones we read earlier. What they say is actually the stars could form faster, So they're still trying to prove that actually the universe formed just 13.8 billion years ago, that not before. What they are trying to say is that actually this, because was no such heavy elements then, hydrogen and helium forming bigger, how to say, bigger stars, but also died faster, like just 1 million years. That's really, really fast. I mean, keep in mind, our sun is gonna, it's already 4.5 billion years old. So 1 million years is very, very short. But I'm guessing it's interesting, this thing. But I don't know how they can feel this in current understanding. So they are trying to say that a lot of stars form, and so this is how they were forming faster in the beginning, and then suddenly, by time, as they produce more elements, they start to form like slowing down a little bit, slowing down to the point that we are now, actually. But keep in mind, we have stars which is quite close to us, if I'm not mistaken, yes, quite close to us, which also is the age of the universe. So why that star is almost the age of the universe, and these stars just died in 1 million years. So yeah, this is interesting article, you know, to read, but still I think is a lot more to digest here. And also keep in mind, like I said, if you put in computer simulation, when you put in computer simulation, you give some rules of that computer to run of, yeah, because this is how it is. And if something, like even a thing, is off, then everything that simulation is wrong. But could be right as well, so you never know. But we'll see about this. Okay, last couple of news. Missing link for Earth water found around remote baby stars. Astronomers have spotted water that looks remarkably similar to our own in orbit around a young star 13 years light years away from Earth. Astronomers study a remote baby star found a missing link that could finally explain the origin of water on Earth, a new study suggests. By training, okay. Astronomers have spotted gaseous water with a chemical composition close to the one found in comets around Earth. This is vital evidence that water delivered by comets to ancient Earth come from glass clouds older than the Sun. Interesting. Astronomers previously observed water moving from glass clouds to planet forming disk around young stars, and then later from comets to planets. But the missing link in the chain has proven elusive. Now a new finding, research finally filled in the blank. Okay, let's see. V883 Orionis is the missing link in the case. Okay. The composition of the water in the disk is very similar to that of comets in our own solar system. This is confirmation to the idea that the water in the planetary system formed billions of years ago before the Sun in interstellar space and have been inherited by both comets and Earth relatively unchanged. Stars find their beginning in giant clouds of dust and gas which slowly collapse, heating up as they coalesce. Once the protostars began taking shape, the leftovers building block from the clouds form of disk around the new star, clumping together over a million of years to form comets, asteroids, and planets. Once a planet has formed, water from the planetary disk, now frozen inside millions of comets, pelts the new world like cosmic snowballs. So, measuring the ratio of simple to semi-heavy water found around V883 Orionis reveal a similar chemical composition to comets in our solar system. Strongly suggest that the water in the disk would later froze and clump to form comets. By charting the distribution of the water suspended around the star, the research found the planetary disk contained at least 1,200 times the amount of water in Earth's oceans. Very interesting. So what they are trying to say, actually, that water, which we have now on our planet, of course, as you know, is just, it's like a different element. Yeah, water, like, you know, hydrogen, helium, H2O, iron, whatever, was formed earlier than the our sun, because keep in mind, we believe before our sun, you know, Actually, there was another bigger star which get to the supernova level and then explode and leave all these how you say all these elements out there in space. And it makes sense, these elements like water, space, especially water in the colder, you know, the space out there is really, really cold. Yeah, so yes, of course the water is gonna froze, and it's gonna froze in chunks, and it's gonna create comets. And is a really interesting discovery, because you know, if these comets like out there are just, let's say, frozen water, when these comets collide into like our planet or different planets, then that water melts down and, like, you know, it covers the surface of the planet. So this makes sense. This is a really an interesting find, and you know, this just is more proof that we're starting to understand, you know, our our solar system. Interesting find, this one. Okay, another news. Bright new comet discovered zooming towards the sun could outshine the stars next year. I think most of you seen this because it was all over the social media. So the comet known as C2023A3, Tenshinhang Atlas, okay, was first noticed by the Asteroid Terrestrial Impact Last Alert System, ATLAS. ATLAS telescope project in South Africa on February 22. Okay, astronomers of the Purple Mountain Observatory in China also discovered the comet independently. So, okay. Skywatchers around the world have since observed it in new and old images, with the earliest detection found in image taken by Wide Field Camera on December 12. Okay, so currently this comet is between Saturn and Jupiter. It's traveling at the ZP 180,610 miles per hour, 290,664 kilometers per hour, and is likely to make its close approach to Earth on October 3rd, 2024. Astronomers estimate that the comet orbits the Sun once every 80,660 years. This trip around the comet will make its closest approach to the Sun, known as perihelion. Okay, all this depends, of course, on the comet staying in one piece. Comets are loosely bone ball of ice, rock, and dust. Yes, and it could melt, especially when it's getting closer to the Sun. If the comet does hang together, it may become visible in an amateur telescope in June 2024, according to our sky, before passing Earth and the Sun on its way to perihelion. Okay, so they discovered this comet because seems like, you know, like I said, could be thousands of objects which actually we know they are, because we have belts as well, but bigger objects that, you know, how to say, goes around our Sun. And of course we didn't know about this one, because if it's far away outside of the our current solar system, it's hard for us to see, because it's not emitting any radiation or light. But now when it's coming into our solar system, we can detect it and we can see it. So he's, you know, this is one of those comets we just discussed earlier, which could be just ice and could like hit a planet, and all that ice could transform into water. Of course, it's gonna melt down. But at least we know our planetary system, how say, planetary system defense works if we find all these objects. Some of them we find quite late, like we found some of the smaller one lately, but at least is not impacting us in any way, because keep in mind we are like a shooting gallery. There are a lot of objects out there, and if one big enough could hit our planet, we could be in big trouble. Let's see, puzzle of the Sun, mysterious heartbeat signals finally solved. After studying an usual solar eruption from 2017, researchers think they pinpoint the likely origin of mysterious heartbeat-like signal emitted by the Sun during solar flares. Ooh. Researchers finally pinpointed the likely origin of mysterious heartbeat-like signals put out by the sun during solar flare. The finding could help us learn more about how potentially damaging solar sorcerers are unleashed. And they are very damaging. Solar radio bursts are streaming of electromagnetic radiation, made up mainly of radio waves, as well as microwaves, ultraviolet radiation, and X-ray. There are a lot of things that get launched into space along with jet of super hot plasma known as coronal mass ejections (CME) during solar flares. Solar radio bursts, as well as some stellar radio bursts from distant stars, occasionally contain regular repeating patterns known as quasi-periodic pulsations. These patterns involve brief breaking in the radio stream, which create dots and peaks when viewed on a graph, similar to an electrocardiogram. Okay. These beating patterns are important for understanding how energy is released and dissipated in the sun atmosphere during this incredibly powerful explosion. Okay. After analyzing data collected by EOVESA in California and NASA Solar Dynamics Observatory, the team discovered a secondary heartbeat signal. The unexpected second signal, which seemed to be linked to the original signal, allowed the researcher to pinpoint what was happening during solar flare to trigger the pair of signals. So solar flare happens when the sun magnetic field lines get tangled up and then snap back into place like a rubber band. Interesting. This process unleashes an enormous amount of energy and force superheat loops of ionized gas of plasma and radiation into space. The fast-moving plasma creates a current of steam charged particles that run vertically down the center of plasma loop in the thin sheet. The main heartbeat signal detected, which beats every 10 to 20 seconds, was traced back to the base of the current sheet, like most other in solar flare, but the secondary signal was weaker than the main signal and beat every 30 to 60 seconds, come from across the entire current sheet, which has not been observed before. Okay. Excuse me. What is very interesting here is like they say solar flare happen when the sun magnetic fields lines get tangled up and then snap back into place like a rubber band. Very interesting. We still discuss about magnetic fields and we wonder why we don't understand our universe. Magnetic fields are out there, but it's really interesting, like, why we don't have these magnetic lines on Earth so powerful. So maybe this was just coming to me when I read this. Maybe our sun core is a little bit uneven. Let's say that, at least more powerful on some part, and you know, but it's just a take there, nothing more, nothing less. It's nothing to say about this. It's just we need to keep on our sun, because lately been really a lot of solar eruption, and these are really dangerous, because keep in mind our entire life is based on electricity. And if is a solar eruption powerful enough, which our magnetic field can't handle, hit our planet, then we are in big trouble, because we can be thrown in the dark ages. Without electricity, we are like non-existent. Keep in mind, to produce all this food, to transport, or to live our life, we need electricity, we need computers, we need all this stuff. So yes, the death of us could come from from our sun as well. The thing which keep us alive can also kill us. No surprise there. Let's read this thing and then we move on. Building blocks of life recovered from asteroid Ryugu are older than the solar system itself. The first analysis of sample probe back from the asteroid Ryugu showed that this space rock contains some of the molecules needed for life. Interesting. The asteroid Ryugu, which orbit the sun between Earth and Mars, contain many of the building blocks for life. The mission is the only second time a spacecraft has successfully brought back a sample from an asteroid. An asteroid of 10 portion of sun revealed that the carbon-rich asteroid also contained molecules that are crucial to all known life, including 15 amino acids, that the building blocks of proteins. These molecules themselves are not alive, but because they are found in all life, scientists call them prebiotic. Research is new from previous studies of meteors found on Earth that space rock can contain prebiotic molecules, but rocks have never fallen through Earth atmosphere. rocks that have fallen through Earth atmosphere might harbor such contaminant due to contamination. It also wasn't clear whether this molecule could survive on an asteroid surface only deep within the asteroid body. In this case, a molecule comes from surface dust. Okay, so as you know was the mission, was the call, because I'm not gonna read everything. I need to keep it a little bit shorter. Hayabusa 2, landed on this asteroid and collect all this dust. So this dust actually contain building block of life, like the amino acids. Yes, the building block of proteins. So what they say, actually, these amino acids in the proper environment, like the surface of our planet, could develop into life. So, like I said in the past episode of my podcast, it's no wonder out there, soon enough, we're gonna hear, like, it's definitely life out there, you know, on other planets, because it's like we see now, it's easy to form the life. It's, you know, in just land on the planet's surface, you know, and they start to develop. The only problem is, like I said, most likely is life out there in our lifetime, but might not be intelligent life. This is the only difference, which I think is a big point. So definitely is life out there, even maybe in our solar system, on a planet like Europa, deep under the ice, or even on Titan, you know, could be life out there. But the only problem is, it might not be intelligent. This is the problem with intelligent life. It's taking up a lot of time to develop. So we might miss the window, like I said in the past. But it's interesting find. Like I said, through observation, finally we're gonna figure out what is happening out there in our universe. last two news. If you are still with me, I'm the last two news, and then at the end I'm gonna do a little bit of my own talking. Runaway black hole, the size of 20 million suns, found speeding through space with a trail of newborn stars behind it. Ooh! Astronomers have discovered a runaway black hole, potentially the first observational evidence that supermassive black holes can be ejected from their host galaxy. I wonder why. Astronomers have spotted a runaway supermassive black hole, seemingly ejected from its own home galaxy and racing through space with a chain of stars trailing on its wake. According to the the discovery offers the first observational evidence that supermassive black hole can be ejected from their home galaxy to roam interstellar space. Interesting. The researchers discovered the runaway black hole as a bright streak of light while they were using the Hubble telescope to observe the dwarf galaxy RCP-28, located about 7.5 billion light years from Earth. Holy moly, that's far away. Follow-up observations showed up that the streak measured more than 200,000 light years long, roughly twice the width of the Milky Way, and is thought to be made of compressed gas that is actively forming stars. The gas trails a black hole that is estimated to measure 20 million times the mass of our sun amid its spinning way from its home galaxy at 3.5 million miles per hour. 5.5 million kilometers per hour. Holy shmoly, that's fast, man. Look at this space traveling. Or roughly 4,500 times the speed of sound. According to the researchers, the streak points right to the center of the galaxy where the supermassive black hole would normally sit. We found a thin line in a Hubble image that is pointing to the center of the galaxy. Okay. Confirming the the tail of a ejected black hole. Most, if not all, large galaxies host supermassive black hole at their center. Active supermassive black hole often launches jets of materials at high speeds, which can be seen as streaks of light that superficially resemble the one the research is spotted. They are called astrophysical jets. To determine this isn't what they observe, okay, the team investigating the streak and find didn't possess any of the telltale signs of astrophysical jet. Black hole on the move. So once the runaway supermassive black hole is confirmed, the next question is how such a monstrous object gets ejected from its host galaxy. Yes, that's a big question. How that happened? The most likely scenario that explains we've seen is a slingshot caused by a three-body interaction. When three similar mass body gravitationally interact, the interaction does not lead to a stable configuration. Ah, okay. Now I understand what they are saying. So, what they are saying is that actually, this black hole was on a colliding path with maybe two others black holes. So this was like galaxies maybe colliding together, and this black hole, because the other two were most powerful in the magnetic fields, could send this one out into space. But which is very interesting to me is this black hole, which is roaming through space, yeah, behind it you can see is leaving a trail of forming stars. So what is telling me is this black hole, this magnetic field, yes, this is powerful, my opinion, like I said, I believe in magnetic fields, not gravity. This, and I'll tell you at the end why. These magnetic fields, which are roaming through space, through gas and everything, it's powerful enough to create enough spin of the atoms in those clouds of gas, and those to engage even bigger and bigger, get bigger and bigger, so we can find they can form stars. So what is very interesting is like we could have black holes we don't even know about, which just travel to universe, and they just go, let's say, to a cloud of gas, and behind them, this is what is forming the stars, the black hole, like I said. And like I've been keep saying in the last few articles, this powerful, you know, because what is the most element, what is the element thing of the celestial objects, like what is the most particular thing in my opinion, which is must be up there if that thing needs to be alive, it needs to spin. So the spin of everything, even the stars, even the planet, which is what is keeping it alive. And if this black hole keeps spinning, yeah, and when it's spinning with these powerful magnetic fields, in my opinion, all this cloud of dust around it, this leads to creating other stars. This is really, really excellent discovery, in my opinion. And maybe this could prove that maybe the stars also form because, keep in mind, maybe there are out there in the universe some elements which creates in this black hole, just are running wild, which we don't even know about it. And this powerful, their powerful magnetic field just create these stars. Could happen out there. I'm just putting it out there, you know, it's just a thing out there. And now let's move in our solar system. Elusive planet 9 could be surrounded by hot moons, and that's how we found it. We are crazy about this planet 9. The mysterious planet 9 may have up to 20 moons that could be superheated by the hypothetical planet gravitational pull, making them easy to spot. The elusive planet 9, which may or may not lurking in outer reach of the solar system, could be surrounded by a small swarm of potential moons, a new study reveals. What's more, this moon could be key to finding a missing planet. Planet 9, if it exists, lurks beyond the orbit of Neptune in an icy region known as the Kuiper Belt. Yes, We know about Kuiper Belt is a lot of objects out there, celestial objects. Scientists first proposed the existence of Planet 9 in 2016. They used the hypothetical planet Ned as a possible explanation for the unusual orbit of several extreme trans-Neptunian objects, asteroids, comets, moon of dwarf planets that beyond 30 astronomical units from the Sun. One astronomical unit is the distance between Earth and the Sun. Not that far away. Researchers think that the trajectory of these objects can be best explained by the gravitational force of an undiscovered mass. Based on these orbits, Planet 9 is likely between 5 and 10 times larger than Earth and orbits the Sun from around 250 times further away from our planet does. There may even be suggestion that the elusive object could be a mini black hole. In a new paper submitted to the Astrophysical Journal and alluded to the preprint database, researchers have proposed that the key to finding Planet 9 could be satellite's body. Okay, so let's go into it now, because this is the last news and I really want to go into it. This news can connect also with the last news, and I'm gonna tell you why. So we think it's a planet out there, let's say, could be also a black hole, yes, which surround our sun, yeah, which is moving around our sun, which is influencing also our sun, let's say, yes. And this, how big they said it was, it's 10 times bigger than the planet Earth, yes, 5 and 10 times larger than the Earth. I think if we're a planet out there, maybe we should have seen it already. Of course, it's not that big, but still, in my opinion, if it was a planet like our Earth, let's say yes, could have, let's say, the magnetic field strong enough to move some objects in the Kuiper Belt, but I think maybe a black hole could be more plausible, and let me tell you why. Like I said, our solar system, you know, they think is based on the explosion of the supernova, yes? Explosion of the supernova. What if, I'm just putting out there, you know, what if that supernova left behind a mini black hole, yes? And that mini black hole was actually the beginning of our solar system, and now our sun is the only thing strong enough to keep it at bay. Yes, you know what I mean. Because our sun has a much more stronger magnetic fields maybe than that, let's say, black hole which is out there. Because that thing could have a stronger magnetic field, but now, after, you know, it was just left after the supernova, before our solar system explodes, is not as strong as it used to be. Because keep in mind, the supernova is surrounded by a lot more matter than not just supernova could have also provide all the matter that we have now in our solar system, including all the sun and, you know, all the planets and everything together, the Kuiper Belt. But maybe that could be the Planet 9, in my opinion. Maybe a smaller black hole, which is actually the thing which created our solar system in the first thing. Because like I said, like we just discussed earlier, running away black hole through the universe create stars behind it. So maybe a running black hole in our part, you know, of the galaxy, like I said, from leftovers, from explosion of different stars, because keep in mind, stars supposedly create black holes, that is what created our solar system. So we are just the creation of the black hole, yeah? So you see, I don't know, you think maybe you don't see it, but in my opinion, you see how little piece, you know, of information ties together. So we just find out that running black hole in the universe could create stars. And maybe, like we try to find this, maybe this is what is hiding out there. Actually, our solar system, our sun, yeah, we know it's got these whole magnetic fields around this. And keep in mind, Voyager 1 prove us after it went out from the magnetic field, the radiation, which in interstellar space was a different reading. Why? Because our sun, in my opinion, protect us for a lot of also deeper radiation. So is emitting radiation our sun, and when it's hitting at the edge of the, how you say that blob of mass, look, it's not coming to mind now. Because the sphere of our sun, not, I'm not talking, you know what I mean, the whole circle, which includes us, the planets and all the Kuiper Belt and everything, after Voyager 1 went into interstellar space, was a different reading because the sun is keeping away some of the radiation out there also. But maybe, like I said, we have around us this black hole which create our solar system. And it's not that crazy to think about it. Like I said, we just find out that running black holes in the universe can create stars. Maybe this is what created our sun. And by then, our sun start creating planets and everything. And what I want to say also at the end of this, why I think the magnetic fields are the energy, you know, the forces that rule our universe. Keep in mind, magnetic fields is approved in atom, yeah? We know in atom exists. Yeah, we know the strong force, weak force, you know, electromagnetism, yeah, in atom exist. Now, we detect magnetic fields of the sun, we detect magnetic fields of Earth, yes, in space. Magnetic fields which protect us from harmful radiation out there, yeah, it's keeping solar eruption at bay, it's not hitting us hard, so it's keeping us safe. We know now that our Earth core is in a slower spin, or I don't know how to say it in a different way, which in my opinion would be a big problem if our core would stop and the magnetic field would suffer, because then we'd be exposed to the radiation in space, and that would be a really, really, really dangerous thing if our magnetic field would weaken at any time. So keep in mind, if our magnetic field get weakens at any time, we are in big trouble, because that thing protect us from everything which is out there in space, radiation and everything. And we know magnetic fields exist. Now, I'm asking you, we try to find dark energy, or no, dark matter. Why do we need to find dark matter? Because we don't understand how the universe works, because we think it's more mass out there, because we think that, like I said, it should be dark matter for the galaxy to be this big. I tell you, it doesn't need to be dark matter to prove that the galaxy can be this big. One simple thing can showed us, and still showing us that, and in the last episode I discussed also about this. They found a celestial object at the edge of our solar system which has rings. Yeah, which has rings around it, which is far further away than we ever known and our theory predicted. Why? Because maybe that object has a strong magnetic pull. And my take on this is, why not? Black holes can have different magnetic fields, different magnetic powerful enough, you know. Some can be powerful, some of them can be less powerful than, like the black hole which was spilled in space, we discussed a few moments ago. That magnetic field of that black hole could not was not powerful enough to stay with the other two, so was expelled in space. Yeah, it was expelled. So we know magnetic fields exist. So why it's hard to believe that some galaxy could be that massive just because the black hole is it has a very strong magnetic fields, or some galaxies are smaller because the black holes are not that powerful. It's so hard to believe. Do we really need to invent black matter? Dark energy? No, dark matter, not black matter. Dark matter. Dark matter or dark energy to explain something we don't understand? Maybe the answer is just out there, like I said. We just find these little crumbs, you know, information. We just put it together, it's just there. Dark matter. Why do we have to invent dark matter if we don't see it? We don't see any evidences out there, you know. Also, and this could come to a surprise to some of you, and you think, oh, you are crazy. Why do you even question this? What proof do we have that gravity exists? Tell me, is the graviton out there? Do we need to build a bigger hadron collider to find the graviton, so-called graviton, that is actually gravity? Because we found, you know, we have our measure, yeah, and when we, let's say, we take some measure in space, yeah, we determine the path on an object, yeah, we think actually gravity is what is affecting that path. Maybe it's not gravity, maybe it's, like I said, the magnetic fields. It's just flowing through space. But what proof do we have that gravity even exists? Just because we fall down from, if we go up the house, we fall down. This is gravity. But keep in mind, this force was never picked up by any instrument which we built so far. And instead of believing that our universe is governed by magnetic fields, yeah, and electromagnetism, yes, which we can prove is out there, we can detect it, we can play with it, we can build it, which also I think we should not do that. Why do we think gravity is there if we can't even detect it? This force. We can't even detect this force at the level of the atom. And keep in mind, the atom is the thing which rules everything. Because without atom, nothing would exist. Yeah, we are built from atoms. If we can find it in the most basic thing in our universe, the atom, why do you think is out there? But you know, this is another take, and you might think I'm crazy, but hey, this is just my opinion. That's why I made this podcast, you know, Journey into the Universe, so I can say have my say about what is really happening out there and what I truly think it's our universe, you know, what is helping us staying alive in our universe and what is really the true force of, you know, governs our universe. And keep in mind, like I said, space faster than light. And I'm gonna have another say now, which you might think I'm crazy, but still could be proven right in the future. What do we know holds radiation at bay? What do you think it's we know it's hold radiation at bay? Magnetic fields. Yes, electromagnetism. Do you know we try to build the fusion reactors? Yes. What are the things which hold those fusion reactors that melted plasma at bay? Magnetic fields. Now let's keep in mind, what if we can build a ship, a starship, which I don't want to give away the big element how this could work. How we can withstand the G's and everything, because I still have to work on that. I have my ideas, but I don't want to put it out there, not yet. What do you think if we build a starship with an element still not discovered, which could be lurking in the black holes, strong enough to deflect radiation as we know it? Yes. And if that element could deflect radiation, as we know in space, any kind of radiation, radio radiation, lights, whatever, everything is radiation what we see, yes, the light. Everything, gamma rays, X-ray, infrared, is radiation, yes, it's created by the atom, interaction of the atom and out there, yes. But what if this element, powerful enough with this, its magnetic fields, yes, can create these so powerful things that our radiation, if we go up at those speeds of light, because keep in mind, which is stopping us to go, in my opinion, beyond the speed of lights, it's the light itself. And because the mass says we need infinite energy to go beyond the speed of light, in my opinion, is because the radiation out there is keeping us from going, you know. Like I said, air is keeping us through, let's say, going at a certain speed, yes? You know, air is keeping us to go above a certain speed because you need a lot of energy. But what if this magnetic field is the answer, you know, this element is the answer which can finally give us that most wanted space traveling? But also then will come into play our, g-force, you know, the acceleration and deceleration. And also that magnetic field could need to be strong enough, not just to deflect radiation, but to deflect also space debris. Because keep in mind, in space out there is not just radiation. When you go at the speeds, let's say you go at the speeds beyond speed of light, you might hit clouds of gas, you might hit asteroids, you can hit comets, everything. And these things need to be strong enough to withhold all these things. But, in my opinion, if we go beyond the speed of light with this kind of, setup, I think this should be our answer to traveling faster than the speed of light. A way to keep the light, the radiation, at bay, so not hitting, you know, not hitting us, not dragging us down. Because if it really space out there and you can, you know, just accelerate to infinite, something is gonna have to drag you down. And in my opinion, the thing which drags you down would not let you go beyond the speed of light is just the light itself. But if we have a way of going around this, we can travel faster than the speed of light. Of course, maybe my explanation is not clear as I want it to be, but, and you might think, oh, I'm crazy, but, well, this is my take on it, and maybe in the next couple of years, somebody else will come with a better, better theory and better way of traveling. Because keep in mind, myself, I want to travel and go and visit different planets. I want to go in outer space. I want to go and visit Jupiter. I want to go and visit Europa. I want to do that. And I want to go out there in space and mines. And when I mean mines, I mean mine asteroids to take, to take materials, yeah, elements from out there in space, because it's plenty out there, not to take all these materials from our planet and to weaken our planet. Because keep in mind, our planet is our home, we need to take care of it, no matter how or how we try to do that, whatever, even mining by materials, we need to take care of it. But what is also worrying me is, like, you know, lately all this discussion about Earth core slowing down and everything. And like I said, Earth core has a strong magnetic field, which in my opinion holds the moon close to us. And if I remember correctly, you might say I'm wrong, but if I remember correctly, when they said they hit the moon, yes, it was starting to act like a bell, because the moon is just a big piece of iron. And this make a click in my head, because if you have a strong magnetic fields, Our planet has a magnetic fields. What it's holding out there to, let's see, go around us? Iron, of course. Iron is interacting with magnetic fields as we know it. So if moon is a big piece of iron, of course our magnetic fields from our planet is going to hold it around it. And not just that, like I said, I think in my past podcast, moon is why our planet and we are still alive. Because if moon is really a big piece of iron, which also has, as we know, yeah, with water going up and down, I don't know how it's called, marine, I don't want to go, because, you know, don't have all the terms in my head. But, you know, moon affects the oceans and everything. And in my opinion, is because the moon is a big piece of iron and our core interacts with it. This is what keeping our planet alive and our core, the moon. If the moon, yeah, spins around our planet, is interacting with our core, which in the same time spins in our planet core, and it's heating up the planet, and it's all this keeping our planet alive. So there you have it. This is what I think is happening out there, you know. And that's why I said in my past podcast, if we want to find a planet to live in, I don't think Mars is the obvious choice. Why? Because like I said, we need like something to orbit. Mars doesn't have a moon like our planet has. Because in my opinion, the moons keep our core alive. And if that planet doesn't have the core alive, it can be long term, you know, to make a settlement, you know, for future generation. And that's why life doesn't develop. Could have been life on Mars before, but because it didn't have this, like I said, asteroids, or it didn't have a satellite orbiting to interact with its core, the planet just simply cooled down, the core cooled down, and it's just the planet settled, magnetic fields disappear, and the planet was blasted with radiation from our sun and was destroyed. Every life was there was destroyed. So the moon is interacting with our core, is creating these magnetic fields. It's like a play in two, yeah? And this is what is keeping us alive. So yes, this is my take on why I think magnetic fields rule the universe. I might be wrong, but this is my take on it. And this is what proof I think I bring to the table, you know, based on what observation and what we know. This is what I like to discuss about, what we know and what we discovered already. I like to make some predictions, but not far off from what I observe in the present, you know. This is how I am. And I think today's episode was long enough. I don't know if you stay with me by the end, but I hope you enjoy it, especially on YouTube when you can see me, like my expression and everything, and you can see the news also which I'm reading. And if you have any opinion about what I said about what is ruling our universe, the magnetic fields, and about our planet, if you have a different opinion of how our planet is still alive after all this time, feel free to drop a comment or even find me on my Facebook page, Journey into the Universe Podcast. I created a Facebook page, Journey into the Universe Podcast, and you can find me there. You can come there and comment. I'm happy to answer, you know. You can prove me wrong, but, you know, these are my beliefs, you know. This is what I think is really happening out there. And this is why I made this podcast, to try. Maybe somebody would see it and maybe somebody would understand and prove me, you know, prove me, yes, you are right to some degrees. But until then, stay safe, enjoy your time, and I hope to see you soon in a new episode with more interesting news and also more takes from my side about what is really happening out there. Like I said, I'm happy to see you on my on my postcard Facebook page, Journey into the Universe podcast, so we can maybe discuss, or maybe you have different ideas which I also can exploit in my podcast. Until then, stay safe and see you soon. Thank you very much for listening and watching also on YouTube. See you. Bye bye.